Welcome to The Sober Effect, a show that looks at the positives of sobriety, the dangers of alcohol, and the many people who are affected by it. I'm Kate.
And I'm Steph. The ripple effect of alcohol is far-reaching, and those are the stories you'll hear on The Sober Effect. So today we're going to talk about a high bottom.
We are. Do you want to explain what a high bottom is?
So it's new to me. What happened was when we were having our discussion with Hillary Phelps, she used that term about having a high bottom. And I thought, I've never heard it called that before. So basically, it's kind of like you've got your rock bottom, which people think of as like going to jail, you know, having major health issues, things like that, or losing your kids, losing your marriage. Those are like rock bottom things. But a high bottom is not as dramatic, but it's still like your reason for giving up alcohol and getting sober.
I've never heard it either. No. And this rock bottom thing that a lot of people go on about, I mean, I was reading up on the term rock bottom, and It's often described at the point at which a person believes his or her life or addiction cannot get any worse.
Right.
And many people think alcoholics have to reach a rock bottom in order to start recovering or want to stop. But I think there's a real problem with that, because actually it almost gives you an excuse to carry on, because as we know, you can convince yourself that your drinking is okay, even when it isn't. And if you're told, well, if you hit a rock bottom, then you really need to look at your drinking, we can always push that boundary of what a rock bottom is. I mean, I've been in car accidents. I've seriously hurt myself. You know, I've ruined relationships. I've fallen through glass doors. That should be a rock bottom. That should be a sign. But none of those stopped me, because I wasn't in prison. I wasn't homeless. So I think it's dangerous actually using that as a kind of marker of things getting bad, because rock bottom could potentially be death. And by the time you get there, it's too late, isn't it?
Yeah. It's interesting too, because it's like, yeah, you can continue to raise the bar. Like for me, it was more, I really didn't have anything dramatic happen, but it was a lot of just feeling unwell and then taking a few days off. And that was my, okay, well, obviously I don't have a problem because I can take a few days off. You know, if you're an alcoholic or you have a problem with alcohol, you're not taking any time off. That was like what was in my head. And then I would like compare myself to other people who had what I would call, quote unquote, a drinking problem. And I think a drinking problem is such a term that's like, it's so loose. You know what I mean? Because everyone, it's a perception thing. Everyone has a different perception of what a drinking problem is or what a drinking problem means to them. And I think that's what's important, is understanding like what a drinking problem is to you. And honestly, when I tried to quit drinking in the past, what always kept me was the people saying, well, you don't have a problem. Like, you don't drink every day. And they would basically, you know, confirm what I was already thinking in my head. Okay, yeah, they're right. I just need to learn how to moderate a little bit more. But the fact that I couldn't moderate, that's when I realized, no, that's the problem. And so I had to really start not listening to that. And like, even when I finally quit, I remember my husband at one time when I was talking about my sobriety and, you know, I was doing my day count and I was really proud of it, you know, and I don't think he was trying to put me down, but it was hurtful. And he was like, that's great, babe, but you didn't have a problem, you know? And it, to me, I'm like, well, screw you. Who, like, what do you mean I didn't have a problem? Like, it was a problem for me. And I think that's where people get hung up. Like, they really think it's got to be hardcore before you quit. And I'm really glad that I never let it get to that point. Like, I think about that. That's really scary to think I could have kept going and got in trouble, you know, went to, I can't even imagine going to jail. Like, that is like one of my biggest fears in life, having to go to jail. I mean,
it could have happened to you.
Yeah.
I think most people think, well, that's so far removed from what could happen. But actually, when you get caught drink driving, something like that is a big deal, because it forces you to stop drinking. Because over here, when you get caught drink driving, you have to have a tag put on and you're not allowed to drink. I don't know how it works, because I've never had one, but you're not allowed to drink for a set amount of time. So that forces you to stop. You've got to then stop and you've got to think about it. So that, I know, has been a rock bottom for a lot of people.
Yes.
And they've also almost been forced to make those first few steps into sobriety, because they're not allowed to, or they could potentially go to prison. So it's a no-brainer, really. You've got to stop. But the kind of high bottom, which is just a phrase I can't get my head around because it just sounds like someone with a huge ass, you know, like balancing a cup of water on their high bottom. Anyway, I'll get over that, I think. You're so right. Basically, I agree with everything you've said. And I think people need to reframe how they think about drinking, because I know people who don't drink very often, but when they do, it makes them really depressed. They get terrible hangovers. They get really down, and it takes them 3 or 4 days to get over it because they don't ever go out and drink a glass. They go out and they drink a lot. You know, they don't drink every day. They don't even drink every week. But when they drink, it has a profound impact on so many different parts of their life. Now, that is a problem with alcohol, in my opinion.
Right.
Because every time you drink it, it has a negative effect on you. It's not about how often and how much. It's about the effect it has on you. And some people can have a glass of wine every now and then, and it really does not impact their lives. And actually, I put a post up today about the different types of drinkers, and there are 4 main ones. And actually, the Mary Poppins is the one who always is happy when they're sober and is happy when they're drunk. They never get negative. They never get really aggressive. Bad things don't really happen. It's fine. But then you've got this kind of Jekyll and Hyde types, or the nutty professor types. And then you've got the Hemingway, which is someone who never changes, apparently, and can drink endlessly. But in my opinion, and I know a few people like that, that's because they drink so much that you can't tell anymore because they are constantly drinking and they're constantly in this state. So all of these different things, and all these different elements, they're still messing with our brain chemistry. They're still having an effect on our life. And it's the effect that alcohol has on your life that you need to assess. It's totally personal to you. It's totally unique. Is alcohol having a negative effect on your life, on your body, on your mental state? That's all you need to ask. You don't need to do an online survey about how many units you drink. Your GP cannot tell you you don't have a problem with alcohol because they don't understand how depressed that one drinking session every 2 weeks is making you. It's got to be down to you, and only you know. And I think for me, I was exactly the same as you. Nothing happened. There wasn't one event when I said, that's it. It was the day after day, week after week, month after month of going, I don't like who I am. I don't like how I'm feeling. Why am I doing this? It's like stubbing your toe every morning on the same piece of furniture in your house. Eventually, you need to move it out of the way. You've got to accept the fact this furniture and my feet are not compatible and I can't cut my feet off. So I've got to move that furniture out of the way. And I think that's how people have to start looking at it, because I don't like the term alcoholic either, personally. Mm-hmm. I know some people almost like referring to themselves that way because it gives them an identity and they know where they stand. They call themselves that and they say, I will always be an alcoholic. Even when they haven't had a drink for 20 years, they still refer to them. And that works for them, and that's fine. But all these labels and all these things, I think it is as simple as that. Is it having a negative effect on your life? And like anything else, you assess it. And you walk away from it if it is.
Yeah. I want to comment on the whole alcoholic thing. And I think the reason people do that is because if you tell someone, I'm not drinking because I'm an alcoholic, nobody then says anything to you after that, right? Like if you, I've seen it happen. I've seen people say, oh, he doesn't drink because he's an alcoholic. And then end of discussion.
Yeah.
But if you say, like, if when I was telling people that I wasn't drinking, one, I don't identify as an alcoholic. 2, no one identified me as an alcoholic. It just opened. Then everyone is like so curious. Well, why aren't you drinking? Like, just are you just taking a break? Like, you're going to drink again, right? Like, you just need to reel it in. So I get why some people just default to that. And I almost wish that there was something I had, because I'm, like I said, I don't know how I feel about the word alcoholic. You know, I think just like how everyone, that word just feels so negative and so heavy to wear. And maybe if my drinking was that bad, where like I was physically, because that's what I think of when I think alcoholic, physically addicted. Cannot get up in the morning without having a shot of vodka or hiding alcohol throughout the house. Like that, in my mind, is the definition of an alcoholic. And I know that it's, once again, it's one of those terms, there's a spectrum within it. But to me personally, that's why I can't identify as that, because that's not what my drinking looked like at the end. But I think being able to just make, like you said, you're stubbing your toe every morning on something and it's starting to affect you. It hurts, right? So if you're starting to notice that alcohol is hurting you in any which way, mentally, your relationships, physical illness, anything, it's time to, you know, recognize that and realize that you are the only one who can change that. Like, by stopping drinking alcohol, you can then remove the pain point, right? Moving the furniture that you stub your toe on, you're removing that pain point, and you have to do it for you. And I think that's kind of like where you were at with the video, like your cry for help to yourself, you know, where I was at when I was pity partying myself hungover on that vacation. And I was just like, I have to find a way out of this. It's like, you finally realize that you are the source. Like, you are doing this to yourself over and over and over again. You're done like saying, well, you know, no one's going to want to be my friend, or what am I going to do? Who am I going to hang out with? How am I going to explain? Like, none of that matters anymore, because you have reached that point where you just want to feel better. And I think that is whatever, however you want to label it, your high bottom, your rocks. That could be a rock bottom for some people. At the end of the day, when it's a problem and you know it, and you're, like you said, you're Googling it, you're taking all the quizzes, like there's all your signs that, you know, it is a problem.
And it doesn't have to come at once. It doesn't have to be a car crash. Mm-mm. You know, if something is affecting every aspect of your life every day in a small but negative way, that is having a huge impact on your life. It's just spread out. It's affecting your relationships. It's affecting your health. It's affecting your mental clarity, your positivity, your enthusiasm for life, your patience. And I think we are so good at soldiering through these things and saying, put your big girl pants on, stand up, get through it. Come on, you can do it. Don't show weakness.
Yep.
That we push through and we don't bunch all these things together and see how huge they are. So what are some of the signs that you think? So these kind of high bottom, so things that aren't necessarily things that everyone's going to be whispering about. Oh my God, did you hear what happened? But little signs that things aren't quite right. What would you say some of those things are? Because I'm trying to think of them. If people are listening and they're thinking, well, I drink, what should I be looking out for that's an indicator that maybe this isn't good?
I would say the biggest thing is maybe the way you feel after, because I think that can be a really big indicator. Like, if you wake up the next day and you're feeling ashamed because of how much you drank, or ashamed because you said something you wouldn't have normally said when you were drinking, or maybe you wake up and you're not feeling physically well. Like, those are like huge signs. And I think that was really the first sign for me, was how much I wasn't well the next day, you know?
Yeah.
And then if you're looking, because then this was the next thing for me too, if you're looking for the solution in alcohol again. So like, I would wake up and I would feel guilty or physically ill, and my first reaction was, I just need to start drinking again to once again numb out this feeling. So that's kind of a red flag, I feel like, noticing this like merry-go-round, right? You're on a merry-go-round type relationship.
And it's actually your body talking to you and going, this stuff is poisoning me. Hello, can you feel what it's doing to your liver? Can you feel how your mood is being affected? I mean, that's the only way your body can talk to you, is by giving you these indications of not being well.
Right.
So you're completely right. If you're waking up a lot and you're feeling like crap because of the drinking, that's a huge sign that this stuff is having quite a big impact on you. And you need to think about your drinking. And I think for me, one of the big signs as well was not being able to stop after I'd had one. So I was exactly like you, and I was just listening to you thinking, I would say, well, I can have a day off, so I'm not an alcoholic. I don't drink in the morning. I'm not an alcoholic. But that's not the point. When I had one glass, I would carry on and I would completely change. And I never knew who I was going to become. I never knew whether I'd be able to have a bottle of wine and be totally fine, hardly slurring my words, or I could have two glasses and I'd be all over the place. I'd get angry and I'd be upset, or I'd be crying about something that the next day, I was like, I'm not even bothered about that. What was going on? And I think that not being able to stop, you know, I realized I could never have one glass and I'd get really angry if there was nothing else to drink. Like, I'd rather not have one than just have one and be told there's nothing else. That's a sign of a really unhealthy relationship with alcohol. When once you start, you need more, 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 because anything that makes you feel that way, whether it's a person and a relationship, a new relationship where you're obsessed and you need constant, you know, messages or dates or whatever, or if it's chocolate or alcohol, you're relying on something and you're looking for some sort of hit from it. That's dangerous, isn't it?
It's really dangerous. And I was the same way. I just remember always thinking, what's the point of just having one or two? I mean, I would verbally say that to people, like, what's the point of just having a couple? Because for me, it was always about feeling drunk. Like, that was the end goal, right? And I guess that would bring me to another, like, little red flag. If you're using alcohol for every emotion, like if you find yourself needing alcohol to celebrate, if you find you need to use alcohol after a hard day's at work, if you feel like you need alcohol when you're grieving, see where this is like starting to become a really habitual pattern and a form of addiction. I mean, it might not be a physical addiction, but if you think about it, that's a mental addiction. That is you basically using alcohol as a numbing agent to avoid any feelings. And then you're also trying to use a depressant. Like, I find it so funny how, like, looking at it now, how we use alcohol in celebrations, right? Like, we use alcohol at weddings. We have alcohol to celebrate things. And it's a depressant.
I know.
So it's no wonder by the end of the night at the wedding reception, you've got the groomsmen and the brother-in-law out in the parking lot fist fighting. And you got the bride crying in the corner because her friend from 10 years ago didn't show up to the wedding. Like, do you see what I'm like?
Yeah. People crying and
because it's a
falling over and being loud and obnoxious. And you kind of think, this is not how a celebration. And they all end like that, don't they?
They do.
There's never a wedding where there's not people going, well, someone so-and-so was doing this. And it never just ends, oh, that was lovely. No one drank too much. And you're right. Why do we do that? Why do we serve expensive poisoning? Depressants at these events. But we use it for everything. And you're right. And actually, you can always find an excuse. I mean, I wasn't drinking because I was sad or I was wanting to celebrate. It just became, as you said, habitual is what I did at the end of the night. It's like, this is very European. We all drink wine at night. Yeah. But actually, the truth was, I was looking forward to that from about 4 o'clock. I was thinking, when can I have a drink? And I was drinking because I liked the fact it altered my state of mind. I wasn't drinking because I wanted one glass of wine with dinner because I liked the taste. I was drinking because it was a drug and it had an effect on me. And I wanted that. And I got greedier and greedier with it. And I drank more and more and quicker and quicker. And actually, that's an addiction, isn't it? That's wanting something and wanting it more, 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 more. Gimme, gimme, gimme. And then the effects were getting worse and worse and making me sadder and sadder and making, you know, doing something should not make you hate yourself. It should not make you feel ashamed of yourself. It should not make you scared that you've offended a friend or embarrassed yourself. That's not going out and having a good night. Yet we all did it and everyone accepts it.
Yeah.
And everyone almost jokes about it. Like, who was the drunkest? What happened? What did you get up to this time? It's not funny. There's nothing actually funny about it. And I'm sure there are some people out there who drink who would just be rolling their eyes at that. But actually, deep down, I knew that. I knew that when I was in my 20s drinking. It was dangerous. It was embarrassing. It was really hard to find a way out, because if you want a social life, you've got to be out there drinking. You know, it's a tricky one. And I think all these things point to a dangerous relationship with alcohol. And I think the second you question your relationship with alcohol, that's the main indicator that you probably do have a problem with it. Because if you're even asking that question, people who have a glass of wine every now and then stop, don't ever say, do I have a problem with alcohol? So if you're asking it, you probably do drink too much and it is probably affecting you more than you realize.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I mean, I can't ever say like rock bottom was even like I wasn't even close, but I can say my health was deteriorating and like physically and mentally. And I don't know, I think that's a rock bottom for me. Like that's,
I think so too. I mean, you say I can't call it a rock bottom, but your health and your mental health were deteriorating.
Yes.
That severe.
Yeah. But those are things that people can't see.
Yeah.
Those are things that only I feel and only I'm dealing with on a daily basis. I think what rock bottom for some people is like when you're going to jail and like now it's affecting your family because they got to bail you out and they got to help you with legal fees and, you know, or you're abandoning your kids or you're like now your marriage has gone down the toilet or you're homeless. Like, you see what I'm saying? It's like,
yeah. But that's a great point.
You think your rock bottom has to start affecting everyone around you before you have to take care of yourself. And I guess what I'm saying is, take care of yourself when it starts to be a problem for yourself so that it doesn't have to start becoming this issue amongst your family and society. Because the sober effect, right? Like the ripple effect that this has if you don't nip it in the bud during your high bottom, and I put air quotes around it, you know, like catch it before it starts rippling out to everyone around you.
And I've never thought of it that way, but you're right. It's almost like it has to be an event that people can relate to. It's like this happened. So they did this action and this was the result. And when you don't have something like that, people can't understand it. But it can be way more serious to have declining mental health and to have cirrhosis of the liver. You're literally killing yourself slowly. You're poisoning yourself. But people don't call it a rock bottom because it wasn't a quick, happened within 5 minutes, we can all discuss it because we all understand it.
Yeah.
And that's such a good point, Steph, because I'd never thought of it like that. But it's true, isn't it? And that maybe that's the difference. Maybe a rock bottom is something that everyone can understand because it's an event that affects a lot of people. Whereas it's very difficult to explain the effects of alcohol over such a long time. How can you put in words how you feel in the morning when you're on your own?
Right.
Or the embarrassment you feel, or, you know, the aches you're starting to get in your body, or the fact that you're sick all the time. You can't pull all of those things together and put it into words that someone will get it all. It's too complicated. I think at the end of the day, you know, what we're kind of talking about here is that we certainly don't believe that you need to hit any sort of bottom before you wake up. And actually, the sooner that you recognize that you're heading down a dangerous path, the better. If you're convincing yourself that you don't drink so much and you're doing these quizzes and you're saying, well, I can have days off, I am telling you, you're getting into dangerous waters there because you're trying to convince yourself you're okay, but you're asking yourself the question, am I okay? And you've got to be realistic about that. You would not be asking those questions if you were. And it's very difficult to accept that. And I didn't for decades.
Right.
But I wish I had. I wish I'd had the guts to say, right, this has never, ever served you, Kate. It's never made you a nicer, more interesting person. You don't need it for confidence. It doesn't make you funny. It makes you loud and obnoxious and you get yourself in trouble. You know, you're hurting yourself. You know, you always say you bruise easily. You don't. You just bang into things more often. And actually having the guts to say this isn't serving me. And yes, I may drop out of some friendship groups because of it. You know, that's a really brave thing to do. But you will be doing yourself such a service by admitting it and stopping. You know, who wants to hit rock bottom? No one wants to have one of those things happen to them. And you will get there eventually. Oh, everyone will.
Yeah. And I just want to add to those of you who are sober and who have been told or have been made to feel like your sobriety isn't a big deal because you didn't have a quote unquote problem, that we're proud of you, and to keep going and to keep doing the day count and to keep, you know, reminding yourself of your why, even if it isn't because you're trying to stay out of legal problems or jail or because you had a DUI or you lost your kids in your marriage. Maybe it's because now you don't have anxiety anymore. Maybe it's because now you feel like you're doing way much better at work because you're fully there and you don't have the brain fog. Maybe it's because, yeah, you have a physical health condition that has now improved. That all matters. And don't let anyone ever make you feel like because you weren't the typical alcoholic that your sobriety isn't as important. I think that is something that can make people fall back into drinking, can make people think, okay, well, I didn't have a problem. I've gone this long. Now I'm going to try and go back. Let me tell you, if it was a problem before, made you feel like complete shit before, it hasn't changed. Alcohol has not changed. Thanks for tuning in. We're just two women from opposite sides of the pond striving to shed light on the negative impacts of alcohol. Quick heads up, we're not licensed therapists or doctors. If alcohol is seriously affecting your mental or physical health, seek professional help.
And don't forget to hit that follow button to catch all of our future episodes. If you think our podcast could make a difference to someone you know, share the love. And hey, leaving a 5-star review will really help the Sober Effect reach more fantastic people like you. So thank you.